This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash. Welcome back to Wrestle Talking to D on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. My name is Martez, and hey, so thankful, so blessed. Thank God Almighty for giving me another day, another chance to talk wrestling and talk to you all, whoever's listening. I'm very appreciative, and I'm very happy and jacked up to be back on air. We tried to give it a go a few weeks ago, but you know how that goes. Technical difficulties hindered us from doing an actual show. I got my man Dominic Portman, my partner in crime, the wrestling I hope I can say this word correctly. The wrestling never mind. He's a wrestling historian, okay? He knows everything about wrestling, and I'm happy to be able to bring him on the show shortly. We are expecting an interview with podcaster Jordan Garber. He's also a referee. I believe he's a former wrestler as well. We're going to bring him onto the show for a short interview. But once again, we're thankful to have him. Whenever he decides to call into the show, we'll bring him on air. I'm rambling right now because I'm just filled with a lot of excitement. And I'm super excited because of one thing that happened last night. And I'm receiving a lot of backlash because I've been celebrating and waxing poetically about the Cody Rhodes promo from last night. You know, I've been calling it the promo of the century. I've been calling it one of the best promos that I've ever seen. I've just been celebrating it. You know, it came off very authentic. It came off very passionate. You know, it came off very real. And I absolutely loved it, you know. Cody Rhodes, he hit that out the park. I consider that a grand slam. It was filled with emotion, you know. And I found myself connecting with Cody Rhodes last night. And to be real honest with you guys, Cody Rhodes, he won me over a long time ago, but last night he really, really won me over with that promo because I didn't know he had that in him, to be quite honest. And I can't stop talking about it. You know, I've been talking about it all day with various different people on how much I felt that promo was a game changer, okay? I think the balance of power sort of shifted last night in the direction of AEW with that promo alone, okay? I'm not saying AEW has overtaken WWE. I don't think that'll ever happen, but just for that one night and that one night alone, I think the balance of power has shifted over to AEW. I believe we're going to see more eyes on AEW because of that promo last night. Everybody's talking about that promo. Jimmy Cornette is talking about that promo, and he's affiliated with NWA. The Rock is talking about that promo. People that are rivals to AEW are talking about how great that promo was. And for me, again, that promo was big time. Was it the pipe bomb? No, it was not the pipe bomb. It was much more different than the pipe bomb. But I still rank it right up there with the pipe bomb, which was done by CM Punk. So I wanted to start the show off today by celebrating that promo from Cody Rhodes last night. I did have audio that I was going to play regarding that promo, but that audio isn't ready for me right now. I'm going to bring my man Dominic on to the show to Wrestle Talk in the D. What's up again, Dominic? What's up?
Hold on, B. Hey, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, nothing much, man. I know we talked earlier, and I didn't get a chance to get your thoughts on that Cody Rhodes promo. I don't know if you saw the promo last night, but that promo was a game changer for me. You know, I'm still talking about it to this day.
Yeah, I hadn't saw the review of it. I mean, he came from the heart. He was so sincere. Cody's pretty much showing, you know, with starting AEW that, you know, he's not going to be, you know, far as the story and how the way he's portraying, you know, the fallout, you know, he's not going to be the whole, you know, as we saw in WWE, you know, I'm the boss, you know, I'm the top dog, you know. He really coming from the heart. And you know he laying everything on the line right now. He got nothing to lose. You know he got as the son of the legendary Dusty Rhodes. You know, one of the greatest promo talker. Man.
What?
Yeah.
Right. I totally agree with you, man. That promo last night, man, it was nothing short of authentic. You know, and I'm big on authenticity. I'm big on people, quote unquote, keeping it real. And I think Cody Rhodes kept it 100% real last night. You know, and I'm pretty sure he hears. How should I put this? A lot of people don't like the fact that he's also the president or he has power with AEW. A lot of people don't like that, man. And I think he was also taking a shot at many of those critics that don't like the fact that he has the power that he has in AEW.
Yeah, and see, I was one of those people, like, I feel like he's going to, you know, pretty much give people what they want, but in a way he's going to use his power above and beyond to, you know, whenever, you know, he's in a tight jam, or when he ready to shine, he'll throw his, you know, his high ranks on him, you know, stipulation and after stipulation. It's gonna be like the McMahon when you trying to when you get that one top dog that go against the McMahon, and when they know that this person is about to be the one, they keep throwing stipulation on top of stipulation, the whole locker room point. You know, everything fell. We just gonna wait till it play out. You know, we gonna see. So far, we liking. You know, we liking what we hear from Cody.
Right. And hey, I think that performance last night by Cody Rhodes. I think the balance of power shifted. You know, last night, and what I mean by that is, like I say, of course, people are not going to stop watching WWE. Like, WWE is still king, but I think that promo really allowed people that wasn't sure about AEW to direct their eyes and direct their attention to AEW now after that promo.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I was saying this earlier, that promo was a grand slam, you know, and I might sound crazy, but Cody Rhodes, he's the Michael Jordan of AEW. You know, he's the guy that you want to give the ball to with 3 seconds to go. And last night, Cody Rhodes, he had the ball with 3 seconds to go, and he drained the shot.
And real quick, we're going to say Kenny Omega is the Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, Kenny, I would say that, but I'm not too impressed with Kenny Omega. He doesn't impress me.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying. Okay, but back to Cody S. to Jordan. Yeah. well, we gotta say, you know, right now for us, the flagship superstar over there, it gotta be Cody, the president and COO. You know, of one of those familiar faces, well known, well respected.
Right.
His daughter. So why not? Why not be in a good way, you know, be the flag runner, shot call, you know? I would like to dabble. I haven't been liking the endings. It haven't been my type of taste towards the endings of quite a few of the AEW. Dynamics, it seemed like it's a everybody come out and just brawl.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, this person gets this person, that person, form alliance, and then go back to, you know, it's kind of chaotic with me, my opinion. I feel like WWE is winning right now for us. How the way they're doing there right now with the whole NXT invasion, how the way they're doing theirs, for us, just everybody, you know, it's more, you know, the storyline, you know, what was coming up for, and it's not confusing you. You was going to say something, Marchez?
No. Yeah, I was just going to quickly say, I agree with you, Dominic. I haven't been a big fan of the endings to the AEW main event. But Cody Rhodes and even Chris Jericho last night, I think they saved AEW. Because AEW, like the first few weeks of AEW, it really didn't impress me. You know, it was good. I mean, I liked it, but it really didn't impress me. But last night, it made me a super fan, and I will be watching AEW a lot more now. And in terms of NXT invading Raw, I mean invading SmackDown, you know, I think that was one of the best angles.
SmackDown.
That WWE... Yep. Go ahead, Donald.
One of the best. Yeah, I'm sorry to. I'm agreeing with you, and I'm gonna add a little bit more. It's been one of the best shows they put on in a long time. For this year, I mean, it was just, you know, it was life. It gave new life. you know, and a lot of people are, you know, talking about, you know, and it shows you that a lot of these that NXT people are just as good as the main roster people. You know?
Oh, absolutely. That Daniel Bryan and Adam.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, that Daniel Bryan and Adam Cole matchup, man, was what was through the roof. You know, I wasn't expecting that match to be that good, you know. Matter of fact, that match was great.
Oh, yeah, I knew. I knew Adam Cole, like I said, you know, a lot of people, if you're a WWE fan of product, you know, a lot of people don't know that prior to some of these wrestlers' histories, you know, Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan tore it down, you know, in other promotions, you know, in Ring of Honor, you know. And same with Tommaso Ciampa, who challenged The Miz. That was another just, you know, it gave a Miz, you know, once a new edge.
A new
rivalry, you know, new rivalry, new, like, hey, you need some fire. A lot of I think that's the thing with the main roster when we complain about what's wrong, what's they lacking. I think a lot of them are lacking firepower and confidence. They get into, once again, confident and, like, kind of comfortable. That's what I'm looking for as far as their spot and as far as, you know, who they want to work with, is, as you see, is going back to that mid-90s area of the whole clique. You know, I'm only going to work with this person. You know, we should, you know, convincing whoever, like, you know, hey, me and so-and-so, we're going to, you know, us, you know, be championship runners and, you know, go against each other. We're going to draw in crowds instead of actually, you know, listening and catering and trying to, you know, go and beyond and help with the ratings and help with the other talents to get them over. And, you know, it's just a whole bunch of, I'm going to do what I have to do and so I can get that top spot and keep my product and my value up. So and what's back to AEW there, you know, everybody is, you know, right now helping each other out. You know?
Definitely.
And yeah. You know, they're going back to the reason why they're winning is like whatever, you know, WWE is doing, they don't want to do or can't do, AEW is going to do it. Like, hey, you know, far as moves, far as storylines, far as, you know, just what they want to see in a match. They be like, well, no, we don't want to, we're going to ban the curse stop. Say, for instance, I mean, we know it's bad, but just say, for instance, or a power drive. AEW go like, oh, no, we're going to do power drives in effect. In fact, we're going to do it off Titantron.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, WWE, we can't use blood no more because we went to TV-14 AEW.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're going to bring that, you know. They're going to, you know, try to still, you know, keep traditional wrestling, but still bring, but still cater to that,
right,
you know, storyline / extreme / backyard / give the people what they want and still put on a show.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Dominic, and hopefully you can stay on the show with us tonight. But we have our interviewee that's going to be joining us on the show in a few seconds. That in the person of Jordan Garber. Hope I'm saying his name correctly, but Jordan Garber, he's a podcaster, referee, and if I'm saying this correctly, he's also a professional wrestler, and he does a whole bunch of other things that we're going to get into right now. This I always like to say this, and I'm going to say this until I'm blue in the face. No one has to accept your invitation, okay? No one has to ever accept your invitation. It could be an invitation to a birthday party, an invitation to an anniversary, an invitation to a wedding. No one has to accept it, so we always are thankful when someone accepts your invitation. And we're going to bring on Mr. Jordan Garber onto the show. We're going to give him a proper intro, okay, before we bring Mr. Jordan on. Gentlemen and ladies, at this hour, we are blessed and privileged to bring on Mr. Jordan Garber on to Russell Talking to D. Hey, Jordan.
Wow. What an intro. What an intro. I actually was doing a Periscope here on Twitter, and I actually went out to that intro. I went into my friend's room, and like he had his music playing, and I literally just played it. And I was selling to that intro on Twitter. I was walking down the hallway. I was walking to my room. I cut a promo. Like, you guys got me going. I'm ready, man. I'm ready to go.
You know what, bro? We like to give it to you a little bit different than other shows when you call here. We like to do something different and unique. We believe that you should be treated like a king, and you should be treated like Ric Flair when you come on to this show. So definitely glad to have you. Thank you for accepting the invitation to be on Russell Talking to D.
Thank you very much, sir. You know, I've been on hundreds of wrestling podcasts. I've really wrestling's in my blood, man. Like, this is what I love to do. I think I would love wrestling more than I'd probably love a woman. That's how much I'm in love with this whole thing we call pro wrestling. And to be on your show, I've seen the advertisements. I've seen what you guys have been doing with, like, a lot of things you've had going on. And my goal is to be on as many podcasts as possible and to have you, myself, join with you guys. Is great, and to talk about my experiences is an even bigger honor, because I just love to share stories and I love to talk wrestling with other fans who love wrestling.
Oh, sounds good. So let's get right into it. And then Dominic, feel free to chime in if you want to ask Jordan a question. You know, I always like to ask this question. Yeah, I always like to ask this question to start off a conversation with someone like yourself. When did you start liking wrestling? Like, what made you start liking wrestling? Like, how did it begin for you as a wrestling fan? When did it all start?
Man, you know, it's a really good question. Wrestling basically, and you guys, I just let me know if my audio is off. I'm on speaker because I'm doing a live as well, a live stream. Kind of make it like a little video. But basically getting my start was my mom never let me watch wrestling on television. It was a big no-no in the house. It wasn't in the household. My family didn't believe it. My dad used to watch the AWA. So did my great-grandmother. So that kind of gave me a little bit of inspiration to check out wrestling. And then randomly, I think the first ever thing I watched on my TV set was Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle from 2004, some parking lot segment. This wasn't back when I wasn't allowed. My mom caught me, and she got all mad at me because I was like, no wrestling in the house. So then I remember I'd go to bed, and like I'd go to school the next day. So I'd go to bed, and like Raw was on till I think 7 to 10. So I'd be in bed by 9, but I'm at 9:30. I'm like watching wrestling, and I'm always like turning it down to see if they're coming. And then eventually, like my parents actually sat me down. They bought me a video game. They told me you can watch wrestling in the house again. And I was like, this is great. And then I randomly on Facebook, I just added some Winnipeg wrestlers. I knew Kevin Cannon, who was actually one of the first guys who actually I was exposed to in wrestling because Kevin Cannon was a family friend of mine. So I wanted to meet Kevin because my uncle was one of his good friends. So after meeting Kevin Cannon, I just saw something random on Facebook about Steel Town Pro Wrestling. And basically, Steel Town Pro Wrestling was this promotion run in Selkirk, Manitoba. And it was wrestling in Selkirk, so too far out of Winnipeg, 20 minutes out of Winnipeg. So me and my dad would always check out the shows. And it was unbearable, like some of it. Like, my dad didn't like it. And my dad's point of view is unbearable because there's this guy there. He's a pig farmer, and he smelled so bad that, like, he was on the back row, and then you could be on the other side of the building and still smell him. So my dad wasn't a fan of taking me, but, you know, I'm a kid. I want to just, you know, enjoy wrestling as much as I can. This is my first time. And my dad respected that. So he always dragged himself out and took me to these shows. And from there, one of the wrestlers said, hey, you know, maybe you should interview us. That was Bobby Fox, I believe. So then I just started doing Facebook interviews with Kamikaze and all those other local wrestling names in 2008. And my first ever interview that I did by audio was with Chuck Fader from Border City Wrestling in 2008. I was only 13 years old. So I thought it was really cool to kind of talk to somebody in the business at that age already and then go to middle school and, like, tell my friends about it. So I did that once, and then I kind of just transitioned out of wrestling. I was just in school, you know, played a lot of sports, collected a lot of sports cards, had a hobby doing that. So I didn't – so I stopped until 2013 when I did – I went to Tech Block High School, and there was a Winnipeg Invitational Tournament, and they chose me to host that. And then after that, I decided, you know what, let's get a podcast going. So we started with Wrestling Radio Ultimate in 2013, and basically I haven't looked back.
Awesome, 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 awesome. We're talking, this is Russell talking to D with Martez and along with Dominic Portman. We're talking to Jordan.
Are you guys still there?
Yeah, we're still there. Can you hear me?
Are you guys still there?
Jordan?
Yep, you still here.
Yeah, yep. Jordan, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we're still here. This is Russell talking to D. We're talking to Jordan Garber, podcaster. We are thankful to have him on the show tonight. Speaking of podcasting, Jordan, a lot of people don't realize what goes into podcasting, and apparently we lost Jordan. Hopefully he'll call back relatively shortly. Dominic, you're still with us, right?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, we lost Jordan, but we got to keep the show going. Actually, Jordan is calling in now. This is the live radio for you. hey, Jordan.
Yeah, sorry about that. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you well, sir.
Okay, there might be a chance if I cut out again. Don't worry, I'll just be sure to call back in. I apologize about that. Sometimes I got this new internet connection, and sometimes it just goes like on and off, and it's just really weird. So if it happens again, I'll connect to the other Wi-Fi in the house, and it shouldn't be an issue. I apologize. Where did we get cut off? Where was I talking about when we got cut off?
No sweat. I was proceeding to ask you a question in regards to podcasting because a lot of people don't realize what goes into making a podcast. A lot of people don't realize what goes into producing a quality show. So could you tell the people that are listening right now what are some of the things that you go through to produce a podcast that they don't see?
You know, like, podcasting is a very important thing that you got to do. You know, it comes down to developing an audience, developing a demographic, and then kind of just working with that. You know, I use Blog Talk Radio, which I'm not going to be using soon. I'm going to be using a new provider ASAP. But even doing that, you got to send in call-in numbers. You got to bring people into your show and you got to promote it. And it's hard to get a high number of listeners because there's so many podcasts out there on the market, especially
right.
wrestling podcasts. So everyone has to do something unique to make themselves stand out. My best advice is if you're running a wrestling podcast or anyone who wants to run a wrestling podcast, you know, be passionate about the topic you're talking about and bring on big names and develop connections. Because if not, right now I'm in a state where there's not a lot of big names coming to Winnipeg right now until the next few months. So right now I'm kind of stuck because I don't have as much connections. I have already used connections to get previous names like Al Snow and Sabu and things along those lines. So
mm-hmm.
my bank is a little limited. So you kind of got to think ahead here and prepare your guests ahead of time, which is something I got to work on too. There's many things I got to work on as a podcaster, and I'm
right.
not a perfect podcaster by any means, but I like to spread the knowledge of professional wrestling, and I am grateful to say that there has been some episodes that I have produced well, and there's been some episodes that reached the press. And to have that happen is another dream come true, besides actually stepping inside of a wrestling ring.
Wow, absolutely. Dominic, I don't know if you had a question for Jordan. Do you? Or?
No, not at all. Continue talking, Jordan.
Okay. Now, Jordan, could you talk to me a little bit about, because I've been reading some of your bio, and you refereed, or are you currently still refereeing? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I currently am still refereeing. I am a referee based out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. My home promotion that I referee for is Premier Championship Wrestling that you can see every month at the Doubles Fun Club, which is a lot of fun. I also refereed for High Impact Wrestling. That's when I made my debut in June 2015. And the match, Tony Cage against Ace Rivera, who you may know as Tony Cage in TNA, as I think it's Gurvinder Singh from the table there in TNA. But
mm-hmm.
he's in TNA now. He's the first ever match I ref, and then I got a main event the same day. So that was really cool for me. To kind of, I was nowhere near ready, and I was just in the ring. But
right.
get out there and just kind of, you know, get it out of the way. It was a really good feeling. So I started with that. And then basically from 2015, we kind of transitioned from HIW to the media, the podcasting. We did that for a bit. So after that, I refereed for CWE. I refereed an entire PCW show as well. Starting with that in 2017 for the whole year. So I got to do that, and then I recently refereed for Tony Condello, which is a legendary promoter here based. I don't know if you guys have you guys heard of the Northern Death Tour before?
I haven't.
Basically, the Northern Death Tour is a tour where I'm doing in February. I did the last Northern Tour that Tony Condello had, but the Northern Death Tour is basically a tour where you go on these Aboriginal reserves. And when you go on these reserves, you have very limited supplies to work with. Some electricity doesn't work sometimes. There's no hotels in the area. And these are 3-week straight tours, and you're driving on icy roads probably up to 24, 25 hours. So when you're on these roads, you stay at these venues, and you sleep at the venues on top of gym mats. So doing the tour is taking a lot of preparation for me in January. I need to be sure to bring as much food, clothing, and shelter as possible and survive. And something that I'm excited to do, I'm cautious about at the same time. I believe I refereed for Tony Khan, I refereed for Danny WWE, I refereed for PCW, HIW, and then I did other work for North Higher Wrestling, Saint Paul, Manitoba, and then I also worked for, what else did I do? I did Minnesota Extreme in Minnesota, so there's been a lot I've done, and there's a lot of stuff I read along the way.
You know, and sometimes I believe referees, they get overshadowed by the wrestlers that are in the ring, and they get overshadowed by the announcers that are calling the matches. But how important is the referee in a matchup? How important is the referee?
The referee is like the most important parts of the matchup. And the most important part of the matchup is this, because basically the referee, the authority in the ring. You have two wrestlers and you have a referee, and the fans look to the referee like he makes the rules of this match. He's in control of this match. So you kind of got to go into this match thinking like it's a real fight, and this is a legitimate fight that you have to referee and break up if necessary. I take my job very seriously. I am training to wrestle eventually, but I've really enjoyed the referee thing lately. My biggest goal with this is to work for as many promotions as possible and continue to grow my name and just ref as many matches as possible and as well not get to take some bumps more. I
Jordan, it seems like you are cutting off, sir.
A bit of pulling direct. Oh, can you hear me better?
Yeah, you were cutting off. I really didn't hear anything you were saying. I don't know what's going
better?
On with the line. But
how are you now?
Yeah, you sound good, sir.
Okay, perfect. Just let me know when I cut in. I just want to make sure my audio quality is fine. But like I was saying with the referee, it's a really easy job. And I fuck up the finish. And when I fuck up the finish, where many times that's happened, you feel like a piece of crap because you're walking to the back and you know that you ruined the magic of that match. Your job is to work the crowd and make this match as believable as possible and to extend reality from fantasy, or fantasy from reality. So what you need to do is treat it like it's a real deal and show the authority in the ring. It's a really something that I take with pride, and I'm just looking to keep on doing and learning from.
Okay, awesome, man. I respect you, man, because it sounds like you're a hard worker, man, and you believe in yourself. So I definitely respect you on your grind. I want to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we want to ask you a few questions regarding the state of wrestling. I don't know if you prepare for WWE, AEW questions. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, just a quick 30-second break. Let's listen to some Street Profits. All right, we're back. This is Wrestle Talking to D right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. We have a podcaster, referee, wrestler, entrepreneur. What else can I say about you? Visionary, Mr. Jordan
Center.
Garber. Say that again.
Call center worker. That's also what I do. That's just my real life job. I wish wrestling was my real job.
Yeah, we got you back on the show. What is your current thoughts on the state of wrestling, man?
Current thoughts on the state of wrestling right now, it's growing. You know what? As long as there's more work available, then the better it's going to be. Now, I mean good work. I don't mean like crappy indie promotions. We have NWA Power. We have AEW. And we have, you know, some good things going on here in NXT. We have some good competition. So people were asking for that, and they got that. I feel that everyone says wrestling's dying. Well, you know what? The 80s was 40 years ago. That was the best era in professional wrestling. But how can something 40 years ago be replicated? No matter how many people are in it, it's impossible. Meaning that the current state of wrestling is different, and it's not what it used to be. But it's turning into something different, and it's something revolutionary. That's what I believe.
I agree. You have something to add, Dominic? Go ahead, Dominic.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I will put it like this. It was the state of wrestling was going downhill because of the promotions. There was no more, like Jordan was saying, back in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, it was territories. Now that, you know, we know there's no more territories, later throughout the years, we had the indies and more backyard wrestling that kind of, you know, came together and fight and put on shows just as better or, you know, up there with main promotions. It's like it's coming back, you know. Hopefully we can write resources and more hands and more big wigs can, you know, we can help develop more, you know, more wrestling promotion or organizations and bring it back towards TV, you know, and certain organizations, I'm sorry, just right quick, and I'll let you go back. Certain these promotions we was hearing about, can come to network television or local television, and do shows and show what wrestling fans have been missing, pretty much.
I agree. I totally agree with what you have to say on that. You know, as long as people keep supporting it, as well as supporting their local independent promotions, then, you know, wrestling is going to continue to be strong. I think it's up to the people. That's what I think. If people are going to think negative, then there's going to be some negative outcomes. But if they think positive, then more positive things are going to happen. It's the nature of reality.
Right. Hey, man. That's a great summary of the state of wrestling. I mean, need I say more? On a much more serious note, Jordan, if you don't mind us talking about this, I know you said you battled depression in the past. If it's not too much to ask, do you mind elaborating on that, on your history battling depression?
Yeah, sure. Basically, you know, people look at me every day as someone who's like a really outgoing guy, and someone who's, you know,
I totally agree with you, man. That promo last night, man, it was nothing short of authentic, you know. And I'm big on.
You over there recording this, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing I always do a live Twitter or a live stream. That way, I can get more viewers on anything. You know, I just like to get my face on as many things as possible. I take a lot of dedication to it. So many podcasts I'm on, I put it on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
Okay. Gotcha. That kind of threw me off.
Battling depression, it's something I don't really talk about a lot, but it's something I honestly go through, and I like to mask away sometimes with my personality. I feel why I battle depression is just because a lot of things that have happened to me. You know, I'm 24 years old, and I know I have a lot of big things ahead, and I know I'm always thinking positive and keeping busy, but, you know, there's many times where I feel like in the wrestling business, I haven't caught up to other journalists the way I thought I would have. I like Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, Sam Roberts, and I want to be one of the best. I want to be like them, and I'm trying to find ways how I can be like that. And sometimes it depresses me how I'm not at the level that I want to be at. And it's something that, you know, sometimes it keeps me awake because, you know, this is what I love to do. And without wrestling, I kind of have nothing else really going on for me besides my job and my friends and everything. But it's good to have something you're passionate about. I can't live without something I'm passionate about. But I also want to have a lot of success doing something I'm passionate about and reach some heights. And I've been doing this for quite a while now. And my goal is to reach a big player. And I want to be a big player, and I'm going to work my way up to that.
Right.
I feel that this is something that with the jobs that I have and the jobs that I do mixed in with the wrestling and just having bad shows or not catching that interview or getting rejected by a girl or, like, anything, it's depressing because I don't like the feeling of rejection. I don't like the feeling of not having big podcast numbers and meeting up to Dave Meltzer when I'm a journalist just like him, and I've been in the ring and I've done this, and I'm passionate about it. I bleed it, so I want to be the best at it. So what depresses me is that I'm not at the level I want to be at. and I want to get there. And it depresses me sometimes. But the only way to cure that depression that I go through is to keep working towards my goal. And that's what I'm going to do.
Hey, man, with that, I think with that attitude, man, you're going to hit home runs, man, on a consistent basis. You know, the half of the battle is believing in yourself. You know, you might not have the views, you might not have the attention that other journalists may have right now, but I can see it coming for you in the near future. You're working hard. You're working hard at it. You're getting your name out there. You're staying busy in the wrestling community. So hats off to you, man. And you continue to encourage yourself, man, because you're going to higher ground in this wrestling community. That's just my opinion, you know. Keep it up, man. What's next for your podcast? What are some things that we can be looking forward to with your podcast?
Some things you guys can look forward to here for Cut the Promo Podcast. For one, is a new platform. We will be getting a new platform right away, so we're going to be doing a lot of shows with that. And then we're basically going to have some interviews. We're going to bring in some big names coming soon. We're going to be doing a video stream on YouTube as well. We have a lot of stuff coming up, and shows are going to be developed. New staff are going to be added, and there's a new co-host. There's basically a whole new team that we're trying to build and develop here, and you can follow the podcast and its development on twitter.com/cutthepromo or on facebook.com/cutthepromo as well. I can guarantee you guys, we have a lot of great stuff in the works. We've been battling some technical issues here the past few weeks, but this is something that's going to be really, we're going to hit a home run with it, and I'm on the plan of doing that right now.
Awesome. One last thing before you go, because we want to leave you on a high note. Why should people listen to you versus everybody else? If you could take
because,
some time.
I have no time to think about that question. My phone is at 2%, so I'm going to explain it right now very quickly why people should watch me other than other people. People should watch and listen to me instead is because I've actually been in the ring. I'm actually paying my dues right now. I'm always going to be paying my dues. And the podcasts that I've done and the names that I've brought on has reached success all over the wrestling internet. It's been viewed by hundreds and thousands of a combined million people over multiple websites across the world with that experience. With the job that I have that trains me on the daily, and with the wrestling podcasts that I do each and every day, each and every time, with the big names that I've interviewed in the past, and I've interviewed a Playboy cover girl. I've interviewed 10-plus world champions. You have to bring me on your show because the other guy next to me will not have that many credentials. That's why you should bring me on your show.
Wow. I like that, man. I like that. Well, on behalf of Russell Talking and D, myself, I know Dominic, we want to thank you for coming on to the show. We realize you could be on anybody else's show, but you decided to come on this show. So we hope you had a good time.
It matters a lot to me. It means a lot that you guys took the time to bring me on. I really appreciate it. You guys, support from you guys and just getting me on as many shows as possible is a huge honor and a privilege. Thanks for having me on the show, and I'll share it all on my social media. It's a pleasure, guys.
Bless you, man, and hopefully we can have you on in the next couple months, okay?
What we'll do is when the Northern Tour is done, which is 3 weeks, I'll go on and do a recap of it with you guys.
Oh, that'll work. That'll work. All right.
Perfect. You guys have a good one.
You too, man. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. That was Jordan Garber, podcaster, referee, wrestler, call center representative. He does it all. We want to thank him for joining the show. Again, nobody has to come on your show. Heck, Dominic doesn't even have to come on the show. So I appreciate Dominic. Joining us on the show, as he has always done over the past year and a half or so. But Dominic, I don't know how long we're going to have you tonight, but there's a few other things I wanted to talk about.
Oh yeah, I'm here. I'm here for the long run.
Okay, we got about 38 more minutes, and we get a lot of good responses on the Facebook Live. A lot of great responses, so that's always good to hear that the people like what they hear. Bray Wyatt, it's been a long time since we talked like on air about wrestling. Of course, we talked on the phone off the air, but what Bray Wyatt mm-hmm. is doing right now is absolutely golden, man. I am so impressed with the character of the Fiend, that I don't know what to do to myself, man. You know, I think the Fiend could be a character that WWE can rely on. You know, the Fiend can be the face of WWE. I know that might sound crazy because the Fiend is supposed to be this heel, this monster, but what Bray Wyatt is doing, what Bray Wyatt is doing right now is absolute masterpiece, you know, and I look forward to seeing Bray Wyatt and who he takes on next. I don't know who he's going to choose to battle with next, but hopefully it's Roman, you know, hopefully it's somebody like that. But I never had a chance to get your thoughts on the Fiend, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a new emerger once again. You know, Bray Wyatt, he keeps, you know, every time, you know, he keeps reinventing himself throughout his years in the WWE. You know, you got to give him kudos. I mean, as far as my opinion, you know, why he's excelling and he's a hot favorite. There haven't been a long time, a big, you could say it's scary in the category of like that horror scary persona character that really sell and that fans that like that type of superstar
mm-hmm.
That really sell and you know the fans can get behind, you know, that's you know lunatic, that's deranged. That's, you know, that kind of, if you are the good guy, the face that you want to, you hate those bad people that's going to, you know, really get under your skin and make you tune in or purchase tickets when they come to your town. Bray Wyatt is doing it, you know. I can see that. I mean, I was unexpecting. I wasn't per se really want him to have the title, but, you know. I mean, but, you know, everybody else do. I mean, you know, I'm not hating the man. I'm not, you know, knocking him. You know, yeah. You know,
yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
And then I'll talk back real quick. Just, you know, and I see why they put the title on him because, you know, everyone, you know, and I love Seth. I love Roman. But everyone's getting, that's the thing. Everybody's getting tired. It's too predictable.
Absolutely.
We can predict Brock. We can predict Roman. We can predict Seth. That was the top three right there. We always know if it ain't Brock, it's Roman. You know, so put on Bray. I mean, it's like I said it, you know, Russell Talk Nation, I've been saying it so many times since I've been on this show, Martez. You know, it's so many potential superstars that's screaming that you can really give them put a gimmick on, like
mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt Fiend, and give them, you know, and I'm not, excuse me, not say give them, but have them to be a front runner for that championship, you know, Universal Championship, like Bray Wyatt. But, you know,
right.
Just Bray, he the first one. I mean, he did the punch, and he succeeded.
And Dominic, like you, I'm so in agreement with everything you said, especially the fact that I didn't think that Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, should have got the title this soon. Okay, I'm okay with it now because he has it and blah, 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 blah. But I think it was too soon. Now, with him having that title, there's no way he can lose for the next 7 months. I think he has to carry that title all the way up to WrestleMania. At least, because
well, they had to. I at first I was like, everyone was like, they wanted it to Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I was like, I was for that match. I think it was just right. Then I didn't realize Crown of Jewels, it was on Halloween. And with, once again, the Fiend character being horrid. Yeah, you had to give it to him on Halloween.
Yeah, that's you had to.
Win, you know?
All
right. You had to. But, you know, I mean, as far as new challenger, I want to see for a good month, add a new person into the title runner.
Right.
Before you give it back to Seth. I know he got his, you know, quote unquote rematch clause come, you know.
They don't do that anymore, but, right?
Yeah. Rematch clause?
Yeah, I think they eliminated that a while ago. So
they did?
Yeah, remember
That's why I said quote unquote.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Right, quote unquote.
You forget once again, come on, let's put our WWE hats on. Let's be producing / writers.
Okay.
You know, that's the reason why this past Monday Triple H offered this friendship back to Seth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If he can part during NXT, he will get opportunity. So, you know, the Triple H being his position of power, he can make those things happen. So
Right. Now, D, you brought up Seth Rollins, you brought up Triple H. Now, am I the only one thinking that Seth Rollins is going to, if Seth Rollins is, let's say, for example, he's a team captain of a Team Raw at Survivor Series. Am I the only one that believes that Seth Rollins is going to turn on his team and actually help NXT with the win at Survivor Series?
Yeah, I was reading rumors today about, you know, and I was listening to other people like ourselves, like YouTubers or bloggers, about that they had a plan for Seth to turn heel, a plot, but they kind of scratching and putting it on the back burner till Survivor Series. So, I can take a sip break. We'll just plan out and see. I really don't want him to turn heel, but I know right now, I'm noticing because I am a Seth Rollins. I mean, he's one of my top five right now in the business, of all the brands. But I know the fans are kind of getting tired of him. So,
yeah, and two things. I disagree with you because I think he has to turn heel. I think he has to turn heel right now because, unfortunately, Seth Rollins, I don't know when this happened, but he – all of a sudden, he became stale, you know, overnight.
But that's the thing about it, once again. If you make Seth a heel as far as Raw, and that's the new wave of Raw, who's the top face on Raw?
Okay, I didn't think about
that. Wait a minute. Okay. You enjoy it real quick. I mean, right now, they don't have a good face. Like as Seth said, when I like his promo, the face that runs the, what is it, AJ style, face that runs the place, or whatever, you know. Right now, it's like I was saying once again, it's like middle school, high school. It's the cool trendy thing to be heel right now, than a face. You know.
Right.
You as my homeboy, you doing it, so I'm gonna do it too. I'm gonna be part of the cool kids, you know.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Hey.
So,
hey, just like
know,
the podcast,
you know,
stuff. Everybody got a podcast now.
we ain't trying to fit nobody or take it like that, but we sticking to the body. I mean, ain't nothing wrong, you know.
Yeah, I know.
We don't want to be the
I said I'm taking a shot at myself too, I guess.
Yeah, so, but right now, I know Ricochet, he's climbing, but I don't know on the WWE level.
Yep.
I know NXT, and is he ready to be to? You know, I know he's not ready. He's not there yet to be. You have a meltdown?
No, I'm just getting excited because I'm digging your commentary about Ricochet, because I was going to say something about him too, but I'm just excited over here because, like, you hitting it on the nail.
Yeah, but he's not just there yet to be, like, universal title contender. I was wanting Samoa Joe, but I think, is he out with injury?
Yeah, he's out with an injury. I think it is a shoulder injury or something.
Shoulder, yeah, his, you know, rotator cuff. I think he got a history with that.
Right, right.
You know, I think that's what everybody wanted. He was turning face. That's one. I would like to see turn face and be a title contender. Other than that, back to self. If you make self a face, I mean a heel. Excuse me.
I get what you said, but Seth Rollins is turning heel. Make no question about it. He's turning heel, and they're not going to have a choice but to give it to somebody. They give it to your boy Mustafa Ali. Let's just look at the folks that were on Team Hogan. You know, we might not have to go too far to find out who might be next.
He's not ready. Once again, it'd be a dream come true, but it won't sell tickets like they did with Kofi. They finally gave it to Kofi, but he wasn't really selling as champion.
He wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. You know. Yeah. You know, we won't. They want somebody that's going to sell, and you know, won't get no black backlash. Excuse me. You know,
black.
You know, AJ Styles. Huh?
No, yeah, you said no backlash. Yeah, backlash. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, backlash. You know, right now AJ Styles, I'm loving his skill run with the OC.
Mm-hmm.
I want to jump real quick.
Okay.
Do you smell a Bullet Club reunion?
Oh, brother, me, I do.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm loving the whole, they not need to end it after Survivor Series. They need to keep going with this. You know, they was talking about Triple H, was talking about he wasn't soon trying to promote NXT call-ins or have people do one-offs and stuff.
Yeah.
Has to keep this Undisputed Era OC / Finn Balor story going. It's right now. It's ratings. It's that's going to help WWE win.
It is, because people have been clamoring for some sort of a Bullet Club faction in WWE for the longest. You know.
It will be better than that whole Nexus / Core. It's going to be 10 times better if they book it right.
It was
good to the point, you know, when CM Punk came back and then, you know, he, you know, got the rights from Bray Wyatt, and then it was garbage. Yeah.
Listen, but only time Nexus was relevant to me was when CM Punk was at the reins, was the leader of the group, that brief time that he was the leader. But Nexus, they could have been something special, but WWE allowed John Cena to bury them. Therefore, they kind of lost their value of being special, of being an all-time great faction, because John Cena was allowed to make them look silly time after time after time after time. And I think this is the perfect opportunity for the WWE to put their version of the Bullet Club together and I agree
together,
with you.
Or you know, we all know, if everybody don't know all the original members or who all was part of the Bullet Club members. We have AJ Styles, well, the leader, Finn Balor, Prince, back in the Prince also during the New Japan era. He was the start off. We had Carl Gallows, Luke Anderson, and then AJ Styles was his successor. Took him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after AJ Styles, you know Kenny Omega, but later after Omega, we had Adam Cole. So, you know, I don't know if there was anybody else right now in the
NXT
that was a part of that faction, but I know, you know, you can add, you know, it's not going to be the best, you know, actual replica of it, you know, like how the way WWE brought the NWO chapter, you know,
right.
They adds newer people that wasn't really a part of the actual faction, you know, they had from WCW or was close to certain
right.
people.
Long
story
right.
short, I like that era, that angle yesterday, you know, it really felt like when an Undisputed Era was, you know, starting NXT, and then when, you know, the OC attacked them.
Yeah.
I think it was Bobby Fischer.
Okay. Yeah, I still haven't seen NXT yet. Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert.
It's all good. Go for it.
Well, we're not going to spoil it, but, I know it's a War Games, you know, I see they're going to have the War Games, NXT War Games. I think they need to try to do the War Games stipulation with the main roster, and I would like to see that stipulation. They need to have an Undisputed Era versus, I think that would be much better, more selling. The Undisputed Era versus the OC. You know, the four Undisputed Era and the OC, if they somehow confirm that Finn Balor will put him with the OC, you know, it's screaming ticket sales. It's screaming match of the year.
Right. I think WWE missed, I don't know if they're going to do this, but I think they missed the opportunity to also place Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode with OC too. I thought for a while they were going to put that group together, make Bobby Roode and...
I didn't really like those fan groups together. I mean, I like... I can see Bobby Roode joining the OC crew, but Dolph Ziggler is one of those, you know, kind of solo, you know, performers. Even he really had a heck of a career. I like the gimmick he had, you know, when he had Big E as his muscle and AJ Lee as his valet, and the whole Vicky thing as his cougar girlfriend. You know, it really, you could really tell that was really Zaw. I mean,
absolutely. Hey, Dominic, let me put the phone number out. Let me put you off. Let me put the phone number out there to you, because we got a lot of calls in the previous show, so we have been getting calls as of late. The number is 646-668-8672. 646-668-8672 is the number. We got about 18 minutes to go with Wrestle Talk in the D. But yeah, go ahead and finish that, Dominic.
Oh yeah, you know. Yeah, I don't see Dolph Ziggler part of the OC. I mean, I can see Bobby Roode. Let's try an old TNA alum or New Japan alumni member joining. That's probably was with the original Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Just throw him in there.
Is Nakamura on SmackDown or is he on Raw? Because I can see him with the OC as well.
Yeah, he's SmackDown.
Okay.
I want to say, he's SmackDown because AJ is Raw, USA title. Nakamura is SmackDown with the Intercontinental IC Championship.
Right. Yeah, Dominic, I'm interested to see what develops in the next few weeks, especially leading up to Survivor Series. But I know there's going to be a lot of turns at Survivor Series, whether they're heel turns or face turns. I can see that happening, especially with Seth Rollins. My money is on Seth Rollins going heel. On who, I don't know. But if they place him in some kind of a 5-on-5-on-5 matchup, a triple threat 5-on-5 matchup, I think he turns heel on his team, help NXT or whoever pick up the victory. But I wanted to, I don't know if you're impressed with this gentleman, but I was so impressed with Daniel Bryan last Friday night on SmackDown. People have been sleeping on Daniel Bryan. And what I mean by that is everybody know Daniel Bryan is a world-class wrestler. He's a technician. He's a worker, but I almost feel like Daniel Bryan was forgotten about, and people were sleeping on Daniel Bryan. But what Daniel Bryan proved last Friday is that Daniel Bryan can still go with anybody in the business, and Daniel Bryan is still able to should still be in line for some kind of a title run. That Daniel Bryan I saw last Friday reminded me of the Daniel Bryan I saw like 5 years ago, man. I'm officially back on the Daniel Bryan train. He made Adam Cole look good last week. No disrespect to Adam Cole, but Daniel Bryan, he worked in that matchup. He really worked in that match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He did. That's probably the first time we saw as WWE fans them working together. I have seen matches with them. That's in the vault. Daniel got about a good another 4 or 5 more years left. He's talking about, his time's coming. He's almost at, he's at the halfway point. Yeah, I think Daniel Bryan, it wouldn't hurt. I mean, he's one of those wrestlers that, kind of what they're trying to go back to and trying to the image. We liked him as the Undisputed Champion and as SmackDown Champion. But, they're trying to go back to, like, the big, strong, or, just charisma guys, for that. I think, title run, I would like to see him as the IC champion.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put him, take that off of Nakamura. Like Finn Balor, I would like to see him go to NXT and he could be a champion there.
Absolutely.
What I feel like NXT should be, I've been telling another one of our broadcasters for the show, we have debates.
Mm-hmm.
NXT is not a downgrade or it's not to be ashamed about it. It's a development. It's like rehabilitation. It's like, it's like if WWE is the NBA, and if you're, struggling to stay on a roster or a team, Raw or SmackDown, and who either you've been having troubles, if it's technically legal issues or whatever, if you need to, you know, show you need to be on the main roster or having problems with your craft or your skills or persona, et cetera, why not, you know, use NXT? You don't want to go to waste.
That's all I'm saying.
You know, go back there. You know, you see Tyler Breeze and Fandango. You see Cesaro. You see Finn Balor. You saw Tommaso Ciampa. You know, he's went back. You know, he had got called up, but he decided, he said he preferred NXT.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah. I think they need to, WWE need to just slowly put quite a few people that's been given a lot of opportunities or that's just right now not panning out, or they just still, you know, don't have the juice like they did.
Mm-hmm.
The vision they really want. Need to just dump them back, you know, try them out at NXT.
Right.
You know, I would love to see Daniel Bryan tear up the whole, you know, tear up NXT. Even somebody like Cesaro, if we go back, or
Antonio needs to go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, Cesaro needs. He's one of my favorites. We were talking about earlier. As somebody, as a face that needs a title, I would love to see Cesaro. He's been paying his due. He needs a title run.
Yeah, Cesaro, man, they call him wrong. Like, he needs, like, and sorry to cut you off, Dominic. I apologize.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. Cesaro, man, right along the lines of Kofi Kingston. Yeah, well, we ain't even talking about race right now. Cesaro been disrespected, too. And maybe I'm using the wrong word when I say disrespected, but I feel like he has been disrespected. Cesaro has paid his dues.
That's one side of things overlooked.
Yeah, okay. I'll keep it nice by saying overlooked, man. But yeah, overlooked. Overlooked for about 11 years since himself, you know. you never know what you believe when you're reading certain rumors and things of that nature, but I'm always reading that Vince McMahon he doesn't think Cesaro can be a top guy, you know. But how can he not be a top guy when many of us out here would love to see Cesaro as a top guy? I don't understand that, you know.
Yeah.
I think fans would be.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think fans would be super happy to see Cesaro as a top guy, you know. And that's it. So I don't understand why they won't get him a WWE title at least once. At least once, man.
Yeah, that's another one. It's like we're telling you, if you want to listen to us, WWE, this is a guy you should try to give opportunity. But that's the whole Vince. No, I say yay. Hunter say nay. Stephanie say, anyways, you know. they all get in between each other, and yeah, it's just, you know, it's just one of those head scratches. It's like, it's not hard. It's not rocket science. You know,
absolutely.
Certain people are like, this is the future. This is it. Like, just try this person. Please do not call up a Hall of Famer. You know, we love him for his time being, but, you know, if he take one more knee bump, this man is not going to be able to see his grandkids graduate, you know?
Right.
You know?
Never again.
You know, we're not going to say something, but Hall of Famer. Or whatnot.
Right.
But, you know, either, you know, just keep, you know, just putting workload on, you know, your top superstar when they need their break, you know. when they need to just fall back and just rehabilitate or replan that, you know, whole format of, you know, that their character or whatnot. But,
right. Yep. Programming note, and sorry, Dominic, I do want to mention tomorrow night is the second episode of Talking with Tisha from the D. It's not a wrestling show. It's not a sports show. It's a sport. It's a show about a lady talking about things of Detroit. Her second show is tomorrow night. Is Talking with Tisha from Detroit. So different than any other show that you have heard on these platforms. So yeah, if you're listening, don't hesitate to check that out at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Talking with Tisha from the D. Yeah, man, I think like we covered a lot, man, tonight. And I know this is our first show that we did in almost since last March, maybe, or April. I don't know how long it's been.
It's like one of those 2 months.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a lot has been going on, man, you know. But one thing we didn't talk about today, and I want to just briefly, because I know we got about 7 minutes to go, but I find myself impressed with NWA Power. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that. And I also find myself impressed with Impact Wrestling. The reason I find myself impressed with Impact Wrestling, because Impact Wrestling just won't die. Impact Wrestling has been presumed dead so many times, but they keep on crawling back for some odd reason. So I find myself impressed with both of those promotions. And NWA Power is a must watch. If you haven't watched it yet, it's a much watch.
I like it, man. They brought back that old throwback NWA / WCW Starrcade type of, you know, by, you know, how the way they interact, wrestlers interact, and the promos they cut.
Old school promo style.
And, you know, nothing too crazy.
Right. That's absolutely special, man, what they doing down there at NWA Power, man.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, man, like, come on, y'all. It's the resource and the network, you know, let more of these more promotions come back or, you know, start to develop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. We're going to see a chapter 3 of ECW trying to come back. I mean, I don't know. You know, I remember it was a point in time. I don't know, is it going? I remember it was a black wrestling promotion going.
Is it the, what is that, the, with Master P? The company Master P owns? Or are you talking about something totally different?
No. I forgot. It was, I remember that was promoted back in early 2010. It was it was like kind of a mix of hip hop or wrestling. One of big label heads was promoting a wrestling promotion. I remember. And then that kind of died down, but I know we ain't got that much time. Just keep it going. You know, come on, we need more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the wrestling, I have to say, was dying, but no, it's back.
It's back and better than ever.
Promotion wise.
Yep. It almost seemed like everybody is stepping up their game, man. Like, Impact Wrestling is stepping up their game. I actually had a chance to watch a whole 2-hour episode of Impact Wrestling, and I liked it. You know, I like what they're doing with Tessa Blanchard. You know, because that's something different that nobody else is doing, and that's something that can bring more eyes over Impact Wrestling with potentially putting a World Heavyweight Championship on her belt. I mean, on her waist, man. That's a huge, huge difference compared to what other promotions are doing. So we got that going on. MLW is still solid. MLW.
Yeah.
NWA Power, like you said. And, of course, NXT, AEW. Are you kidding me? And WWE is a mountain of itself.
In New Japan and start New Japan, Ring of Honor, you know, like I said, Ring of Honor is still going strong. That's been, you know, the quiet, that's been, you know, what's been one of the quietest but well known promotion, you know, they have put together pretty much household names that we see in every other promotions, top other promotion we say is top guys came from Ring of Honor.
Yep.
You're talking about Seth Rollins, the Kevin Owens, the Daniel Bryans, the CM Punks, the Colt Cabanas, the Tommaso Ciampa, the Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, the Omega,
Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe, you know, they need their credit too.
Yeah. Hey, Dominic, hopefully we can get you back on next week or whenever we come back and do this. But 90 seconds to go. I haven't had a chance to get your thoughts on the Street Profits. I didn't like them at first, but as of the last 2 weeks, I mean, I'm all in on the Street Profits right now. I like the Street Profits. I think they're must-see TV, but what do you think about the Street Profits as we prepare to close tonight?
I'm not sold. I'm sorry. I'm not sold yet.
Hey, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
I'm sorry. They're like, what's the New Day. They're mixed with New Day with what was
Crime Time?
JTK. Yeah, they
Crime
New
Time.
Day mixed with Crime Time.
Oh man, that's how you feel, Dominic.
WWE, please.
Let's touch on that next time. But we gonna close out tonight. We want to thank everybody for listening. This is Russell talking to D. Martez and Dominic Portman. God bless everybody. We are out. Money won't